Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Oh, I'm going to read Matthew 28, the first seven verses, okay? After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. How many of you know that God loves to dramatize things? All right, just look at me then. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, as we've heard this morning, that revelation from Colin, that maybe he did it with his mouth. How many of you would agree with that one? No, okay, let's leave that one there. But it worked for the game. Anyway, okay. He rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They froze. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, because he has risen just as he said." Jesus always fulfills every word that he speaks. Every word that he speaks will take place in us, through us, or in whatever way he wants to work in our lives. "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So there was an earthquake. Everything was shaking. The stone was rolled away. The appearance of the angel was like lightning. If you just go to the chapter before, when Jesus was crucified and he declared, "It is finished," what happened at that moment? There was another earthquake. When he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit, it says the earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Wow, imagine that. And then it says these people then began to walk around Jerusalem, walk around the city. Wow, imagine that. Jesus dies on the cross. The devil thinks that he has won. But at that moment, Jesus won the victory over every sin, over death, and over hell. And there's another earthquake, the rocks split, tombs open, and people rise from the dead. Why? Because death had been overcome. Amen. And then godly people who were brought to life were then walking around the city. I mean, that'd be, I mean, imagine that in Horsham this morning. Without any grave clothes. So this resurrection life, well, hopefully they'd have some clothes on. Okay, some of you just need to settle down a little bit. This is a family service, okay? This resurrection life that caused earthquakes, rocks to split, people to come alive, that's the life that we have in us. When you know Jesus, that is the life that you have in you. This resurrection life that is a victorious life. And Jesus wants us to not just celebrate that life today, but what does it mean to live in that resurrection life in our own lives, but also what does it look like to live in that resurrection life together? Jesus overcame every sin so that we could be forgiven. He took every sickness with him to the cross because he dealt with every sickness. He took every pain, every shame, every negative that could affect our lives. He pinned it to the cross took it to the grave, and that's where it was left. So we have this resurrection life. When we come into this resurrection life, we don't just come into that life on our own. We come into it along with a whole load of other people called the body of Christ. So what does it look like to live in this resurrection life together as the body of Christ, where we are there for one another? We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We pray for one another. We believe with each other. We expect God to do stuff in each other's lives because we live in this resurrection life, this victorious life, and we share in that life together as a body of people, because the world needs the life that you and I have. How many of you ever want to go back to what you had before you knew Jesus? You know what it's like to be the other side of the grave. But many people don't. They're still in their graves. And Jesus wants them to come out into the life that we have. So I want to use this analogy this morning from Nehemiah, something that God spoke to me during the prayer and fasting. And we're going to kind of just do this quite succinctly this morning. Then Jane's going to pick up and kind of lead us through another few minutes together. And it's brilliant that everybody's in here this morning, children, family, young people, all across the generations. And in a nutshell, the story of Nehemiah is this. Jerusalem are being attacked and ransacked. People have been taken off into captivity. Nehemiah hears what's happened to Jerusalem and the walls and the people there. And they're pretty depressed and they're not doing well. What was his response? He goes to pray and he fasts. He puts sackcloth and ashes on, which, great, we don't have to do that now, but we do pray and fast. So he went and prayed and fasted. What did he do at first? He reminded God, this is who you are. Then he said, when he exalted God and worshipped, he then said, God, because of who you are a covenant God. You keep your promises. Then he repented on behalf of the people, the Israelites, and asked him, God, and basically, forgive us for turning away from you. We need you. Then he began to intercede for something to change. While he was praying, God gave him a strategy, a plan. Go there and rebuild the walls. Gather the people and encourage them. He didn't have that plan before he prayed. While he was praying and fasting and praying for God to do something, God spoke to him while he was praying and fasting, gave him a plan and a strategy. So he acted upon that. Without the action, nothing would have happened. So prayer and action go together. And this is this resurrection life. We celebrate what we have, but God wants us to do something with it. And so he goes there. He checks out the walls, the state of the city. He gathers all those, the remnant that were there. And he says, hey, God has spoken and we can rebuild this thing. God is going to give us success. So he gathers the remnant. And what does he do? He puts them in households and families where they live near whatever gate they live near, because around the walls, the walls of Jerusalem were a whole number of gates around the city. And he got the families and the households and the people that live near a gate and said, right, you guys work together to rebuild that gate and the walls either side, and a bunch of others are going to do the next gate and so on. And as you do either side of the gate, you're going to end up bumping into the others who started there. You're going to meet here and together we're going to rebuild the walls. There was a lot of opposition, but they rebuilt the walls in 52 days. Now, when you read the story, it was an absolute miracle that they were rebuilt that quickly. They had loads of opposition, but during the opposition from other people, Nehemiah constantly said, I haven't got time to be sidetracked by you because we're living for something. We've got a purpose and we're together in what is going on. And you are not going to stop what God is doing. Now, what did God speak to me about a couple of months ago that is, we've been praying this week, just believe it's right for this morning, in the context of this resurrection life. God, in this story, they stood shoulder to shoulder. They came into a place of agreement to see the city rebuilt and reestablished so that they could live in it again. If you carry on reading the story, they called Ezra in to read the book of the law. They all bowed and humbled themselves. The presence of God returned in that place. But it came in a place where they stood shoulder to shoulder. And one of the things God said to me for us as a church is he wants to strengthen and broaden our shoulders. And it's interesting how everybody was involved, all the households, all the families, all the individuals, from nobles right across the whole spectrum of people that were perfume makers or bakers, or they were good with jewelry, making gold and things like that. Whatever they did, everybody had a part to play. Nobody was too good to be involved, and nobody was unworthy not to be involved. So what I want us to do, and this is going to make some of you maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but we're going to do like a very kind of practical analogy this morning. So I want everybody to stand to your feet, okay? And what we're going to do is we are going to form a circle around the whole of this room, okay? And what I want you to do, bring your kids with you, all right, everybody together, and I want you to stand shoulder to shoulder with the people next to you, and we're going to stand in a circle all the way around the room, okay? On your marks, get set, go. Don't hold hands, okay? Don't hold hands yet, or don't hold hands at all. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. It's going to fill the room. Fill the room. It might be a bit of a squeeze, but that's fine. That's really good, okay, if it's a bit of a squeeze. So we have this resurrection life in us. When we're standing shoulder to shoulder, it might make you feel a bit, how many feel a little bit uncomfortable being shoulder to shoulder with people? You don't have to put your hands up. All of us, a lot of us like a little bit of space. You know, when we're chatting to people, we want our own little space. But shoulder to shoulder, we're in each other's lives. We're past a little bit of the comfort zone, and we're in each other's lives. There's a really important purpose of this, because sometimes somebody might struggle. And if somebody's going through a struggle, they might be slumping a bit. And if you're shoulder to shoulder, you're going to notice straight away, this person's struggling. So I'm going to lean in more to them and help them stand and help them not fall, help them stand. Because at some point they might reciprocate, because you might be going through a tough time, and because somebody else is leaning into you, they're going to go, hey, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to agree with you, pray for you, help you, whatever that might be in your life, to have a breakthrough. Could be healing, could be an answer, could be some sort of deliverance or being set free in some way. Whatever it could be, you know that we're standing like this with others in what God is doing. Yep. They built the walls in 52 days. And one of the things Jay and I have sensed over the last couple of weeks, and I know some of the intercessors have, between today and Pentecost is 50 days. And we have this growing sense that God has called us to live like this as a church, shoulder to shoulder, one heart, one mind with one another. And that God, over the next 50 days, yeah, I mean, it's a start of the 50 weeks. 50 days is that God wants us to expect some breakthroughs in the next 50 days. There's some things that are stubborn that might be going on. And you think, we need a shift in this situation, and we're going to see a shift in the next 50 days. Some of you need to receive some healing. Some of you got family members that need to be born again. Some of you got family or friends that need to come back to the Lord. Some of you know people, it might be yourself, that need some freedom in some way or other. And the next 50 days, this resurrection life in us is going to overcome everything that says that is not possible or it's not going to happen. Maybe in some of your homes, there needs to be some breakthroughs relationally within your family, in your home. The next 50 days, there's going to be some resolutions of some things. And In the next 50 days, as you pray, God might lead you to fast in some way or other, food or TV or something. Not necessarily, I don't know. We're not stipulating this as a church as let's all pray and fast. But God might speak to you about fasting from something. And maybe there's something you need to fast from because God needs to set you free from it or bring some delight or something in your life, okay? But we're going to expect in the next 50 days for breakthroughs, for release. And in that context, like Nehemiah, God gave him a strategy when he was praying. And there's some different scenarios within the body at the moment with some families where God spoke to us and said, I want to give you some prayer strategies to see some breakthroughs in some situations with relationships and families within the church. And God has given some strategies of prayer and action for these things. And we're beginning to see some breakthroughs, some change, some things happening. Why? Because God is speaking. God is working. And in that victory, God is going to take these victories beyond our own lives and into the lives of those around us also that don't yet know Jesus. Now, if we're standing, last thing before Jane shares, if we're standing like this together as a people, if one of you stepped out of the wall, there'd be a gap. While we're standing like this, nothing can get through that shouldn't get through. Because we're standing shoulder to shoulder. We are not going to allow stuff to happen that's going to take anyone out. Are you there? That's the heart. That's the thinking. But if one of you stepped out, there's a gap in the wall. So every life matters. Every person is important. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been a believer. God has called you to be part of building, not just the walls of a city in that sense, but part of his kingdom and all that he's doing at this time. Your life matters.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We really feel that over these next 50 days as a body, as we put into practice everything we've been hearing about since January, we've been learning all the different ways to pray, where we are thanksgiving, where we are worshiping, where we are singing, where we are speaking the word over our lives and over one another's lives and these situations that we need breakthroughs in, where we're praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit gives in our heart and mind what to do in a situation or for somebody else, when we fast or when we pray in the night, when families pray together, we believe these breakthroughs are going to be happening, amen? Yeah. And this is a prophetic act of the body standing together for one another in the days that we are in, amen? And for release of the fullness of life that Jesus rose to give us, yeah. We'll see the reality of it, amen? It's not just for today. This is for every day. So just receive right now. This is what Jesus does. If you need healing, just receive right now your healing from him. Just receive your healing that he is invested in you by the power that raised him from the dead. Mental, emotional, physical healing. We receive forgiveness. If you need to ask him to forgive you for your sins, ask him now and receive from him forgiveness. Receive peace. Receive peace from him. Receive deliverance from evil. Receive deliverance from evil. You can receive it right now and you continue to receive it over these next 50 days to see a breakthrough. Receive his protection. Receive his provision. Yeah. Receive his abundant blessing that he's given us. And we are believing for salvations and prodigals to return. Call back your prodigal. Just call them back now and call them back every day for the next 50 days. And we believe that we're going to see Holy Spirit activity continue to increase amongst us and kingdom advance. Amen.
Yeah.
In and through our lives. Increase Holy Spirit activity. Kingdom authority released. Every household here, You have authority to see breakthroughs in all your circumstances and situations with your children, with your parents. We have authority, guys, and we have the kingdom. Amen. As we stand together for breakthroughs. As we put into operation everything that he's been speaking to us and over us over the last few months, this is where we live in the fullness. The fullness. And I just want to read this. This is Psalm 114. And there are different psalms that were read over Passover the Jewish people would have been singing. Jesus would have been. They would have been using these during Passover. Psalm 114 says this. When the Israelites, because they look back over what God did in releasing them from Egypt. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt. When the family of Jacob left that foreign land. So when we left slavery, the land of Judah became God's habitation. So when we left our old life and God came to live in us, we become his place of habitation. Amen. And Israel became his kingdom and his dominion. So his kingdom and his dominion is in us. And this is what happens. The Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. The water of the Jordan River turned away. The mountains skipped like rams and hills like lambs. What's wrong, Red Sea, that made you hurry out of the way? So if you think of obstacles in your life, circumstances, situations that are before you that look impossible, what happened, Jordan River, that you turned away? Why mountains did you skip away? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. And this is who is in us. And this is who is in the body of Christ. And when we put into operation everything we have been learning, the enemy has to get out of the way. Obstacles are removed. Yeah. Deliverance can happen. Healings can happen. Do you believe it? Amen. We can see God in our midst. Amen. And fullness of life. This is who he is in us. He turned the rock into a pool of water. A spring of water flowed from solid rock. And living waters are going to be springing up in every single one of our lives, every single one of our households, in this body and beyond. The other thing about these 50 days you really felt was important. You know, Jesus, he died, he was born King of the Jews, he died King of the Jews, he rose King of the Jews. We have come into this, if we're a Gentile, we believe this and we live in this fullness of life, but they still don't as a nation. And we really felt God wanted us as a body, as a church, to stand in this way like we are, believing for a move of God for the Jewish people in the next 50 days. As we are praying, it will be their Passover at the end of April. And we believe that they will come into revelation of their Messiah. The blood of Jesus wasn't just over the doorposts thousands of years ago. The blood of Jesus is over their lives for them to come into everything that we have come into. Amen. So we want to believe. Father, we just thank you for everything you have invested in us by the power of your Spirit. We have fullness of life. And we want to step into that fullness all together, Lord, and see your breakthroughs and see your glory manifest in the earth. And Lord, we want to see it manifest amongst your Jewish people. You came as their king and you still love them and you still have plans and purposes for them. And Lord, as a people, we will pray over the next 50 days. And guys, you can just take a few minutes each day to do this. Praying for yourselves, praying for your families, praying for the Jewish people that they come into the revelation of their Messiah. Of their Messiah, that they come into salvation, Jesus, you died to give them, you came to give them. That they come into the plans and purposes in the earth that you have destined and promised for them to still walk in. Yes. That again, as the world, we will know the benefits of. Yes. So Father, we just stand here today, so thankful for the fullness of life that we have. So thankful that we can see more of it, more of you, Lord, in our midst, in our families, for one another, miracles breaking out amongst the Jewish people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people in the nations, that, Lord, they come to know you. And, Lord, we give you these 50 days. We just really feel it is such a time that you want us to be doing this, that you will be glorified in you breaking out, you breaking out. When the nations turn against Israel, we turn towards them. When the nations turn against them, we turn towards them and pray they turn to you, their God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Just let's take a moment. You know, when you're standing shoulder to shoulder like this, we're very close proximity. And this is all connected with being one heart, one mind together. And it's difficult to be one heart, one mind if you know you're out of sorts with anybody. Because the enemy will look for a little chinks in the armor. And he'll look and think, yeah, they say they're like that, but I know what's going on in that person's heart towards this person. So I'm going to try and just work on that. And I'm going to try and use that to put a little, kind of just put a little hook in and kind of reel that in a bit and try and cause more separation. And because if they're separated, if they're not in agreement, then the effectiveness of their prayer is impacted. And so if there's any way in which you have an offence towards anybody or you're upset with anybody or out of sorts with anyone, firstly, it's really important that we just say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for what's going on in my heart towards that person. And I want you to cleanse my heart. If anybody in the room, towards anybody, it doesn't have to be someone here, it could be someone elsewhere. But Father, I don't want to carry any unforgiveness or offence in my heart. Because you died to deal with everything that could cause offence and could be offensive. And Father, I want my heart to be clean. Because I want to stand shoulder to shoulder. It's not just those that you're next to that you're shoulder to shoulder with, because spiritually we're part of one body and we're shoulder to shoulder with one another right across the body, right across the room in this context this morning. And so there might be that you need to go and have a conversation with someone and say, hey, I know we're a bit out of sorts, or I know something happened and, you know, I just want to ask you to forgive me for whatever my part is in that. And we have to humble ourselves in doing that. But it's really important that we do that. We don't let anything fester in that sense. So there's that part of it. So just that cleansing our hearts, making sure there's no outstanding things. Maybe for others, being this close, it brings up some anxieties, maybe some fears. And some insecurities, because like, I don't know if I want people to get that close to me. I'm not sure, Clive, Jane, you're going a bit too far now to be this close with people. I don't mind being in a, you know, around people, but I don't want to get that close. And you know, God's not a pressurizing God. What he loves to do is to reveal his love that deals with fear. His love brings security. And being in the context of the body like this is one of the safest places to be. Because when we live like this, we're not here to condemn and judge each other. We're here saying, hey, I'm not perfect either. In Christ, I'm holy and blameless. That's my who I am. That's how he sees me. That's how he sees you. But I'm seeking to live this out, and I'm not doing it perfectly. I've got some logs in my own eye, you know. I'm not going to look at the speck before I take the log out of my own. And so we're here in this together. And so it might be, you know, this brings a few fears and a few insecurities. Maybe you simply just need to say to the Lord this morning, Father, I thank you for just a fresh revelation of your love in my life that deals with fear. I thank you that you are my security and you are my strong tower, my safe place. And so, Father, I want to walk down this road with others, with everyone. And I thank you that during these 50 days, as I walk with others, that you enable me to come into greater freedom than I've known in my life. that where there are insecurities, I thank you that you speak, you work, you reveal, you do stuff in me so that I live in the way that you want me to, closer than I am now to others. I know it's a lot easier just to say and pray, isn't it, in a meeting like this. But, you know, when you say yes to Jesus, he releases his grace to do it. And so God wants there to be even closer than we currently are. So we want to encourage you to continue on using Friday nights or a Saturday, you know, meet as a family or invite others round, have a meal, break bread, pray, you know, but just have fellowship, just hang out and let's cultivate this building the walls together. Because as people are coming to know him and as people are joining the church at this time, they're becoming part of this family where we're sharing life together. Where we're not judging, condemning or pointing the finger, but we're saying, well, I've got some logs in my own eye. I'm just seeking to walk with God in the way that he wants me to. Let's walk together. And let's be who God has called us to be. And as we're standing shoulder to shoulder, one of the reasons we haven't said put your arms around each other or hold hands is because in that story, because of the opposition they had and to the building of the walls, at one point they had swords in one hand and their tools in the other. Because they were working with one hand and then they were defending and fighting with the other. And what that means is spiritually they had a sword, they were praying, they were in one hand. So God has called us all to be part of that spiritual wall, to pray, to stand in the gaps so there aren't any gaps. But he's also called us all to take part, to work and be involved. And it's often when we pray that God speaks and gives us a strategy. What does that look like for me? What is he saying to me? What does that look like? And he gives you stuff like Nehemiah. He wasn't thinking of going to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, but while he was praying, God said, go there and do this. And then the favor to get all the supplies from the king that he served at that time was released for him for all of that. That's amazing. You know, there's provision and there's things that are released when we say yes to God in what he wants to do. And I believe there's some provision in different ways for people in the room. There's going to be, you're going to come into it in the next 50 days. God's already positioned it. And as you walk forward in the next 50 days, you're going to walk into that provision. For some of you, that provision is financial. Some of it is physical healing. Some of it for you is mental healing. Some of you, it's going to sort out some things emotionally in your life. Others, there's going to be some other breakthroughs relationally. Some others, family members are going to come to know the Lord. Friends are going to come into the kingdom. Anybody believe this stuff this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So, Father, here we are, your people. We thank you for one another. Just thank the Lord for those that you're shoulder to shoulder with at this moment. Just speak blessing over their lives now. Whoever they may be, Father, I speak blessing over so-and-so next to me. I speak blessing over the person on the other side. Father, let them flourish over these next 50 days. Let them come into all that you have for them, a greater revelation of you, fullness of life, whatever there is that you want to do in their life, health and well-being, fulfillment, direction, the outworking of promises. Thank you, Father. You go far and above all that they could ask or imagine according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give a great shout of praise and thanks to the Lord, shall we?
Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're really believing for miracles to be going on. There's already stuff happening in the body we're aware of and shifts of long-standing things that only God can do. And we're believing that come Pentecost, we're going to have some amazing testimonies from this body of people of what God has been doing. Amen? So get ready to bring your testimonies that Sunday. Just want to plug the book I've written, He Reigns. It's on Amazon, but we have got some at the back this morning. It's the gospel. It's all truth. So if you want to use it for the next 21 days, it's a devotional. While we're fasting and praying, then please do. It's available at the back on Amazon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.